inside my head. Before I reach 30, I'd be dead.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program. So to come on the program in about an hour from now, Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party will make time for us for his weekly visit. So please stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, we've had him on before, I believe at the State House. Kind of from my neck of the woods where I grew up in Pelham, but he's from Hoover. State Representative Mike Shaw has been making time for us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. So how's the off-season treating you?
So far, so good. Just, getting back to my roots with my day job, getting projects done, but still working on legislation and things in my district and all sorts of good things.
Well, it seems a relatively quiet, as I said, off season. I guess I saw you at the Mid Alabama Republican Club, but kind of the thing I'm noticing just talking to some of your colleagues, this seemed a little slower, and maybe it's just indicative of what we're to expect next year in January. A little bit of a slower time right now.
Yeah, I think it's the calm before the storm. I mean, you have several special elections that people are paying attention to. We have this is the first year where I think a lot of municipal elections are kind of at this part of the cycle. And so there's a lot of attention, particularly in Hoover and some of the bigger cities, with local elections and city councils and mayors and things like that. So I think a lot of attention is going there.
Yeah, that Hoover mayoral race is a hot one, watching it from afar. I want to talk about this, and the reason I asked you on, I got the it is the House of Representatives in Washington, the U.S. House of Representatives, has declared it Crypto Week, which always sounds daunting to me whenever they declare a week on a week of engagement on a particular issue. But there's two or three bills the federal government is, pushing here, or the Republicans in Congress, I should say, are pushing here on cryptocurrency. And we're still kind of it's a brave new world, and a lot of people are trying to understand it. I guess it's better to be embracing this than not and ignoring it. But what do you make of what the House Republicans are trying to do here?
Yeah, well, I guess whenever you have a brand like Crypto Week, that's pretty significant. It's not just an individual bill or a thing, but I think what you're really seeing is kind of a mainstreaming of crypto, particularly cryptocurrencies, in just our legislative life, the overall financial world. You're really seeing crypto kind of come of age as a legitimized thing. Bitcoin hit a new high of 122, and I think other cryptos are hitting new highs this week as people start to say, hey, this will be a legitimate thing soon. I want to go ahead and get in. A lot of people that have been sitting by the sidelines or sitting on the sidelines have been watching, I think.
Well, and as far as like regulatory framework is concerned, anytime these guys get involved in something, red flags immediately go up. But aside from the like sort of mainstreaming and accepting it as a part of American life, do you see some of these measures? So you got the Clarity Act, you got the Anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act, and in the Senate you got the Genius Act. I think some of these, I guess, to prevent the federal government from having its own reserve currency or something like that that they can establish. What are we to make of these efforts?
Yeah, I think you hit on the three major things that are going on. I mean, they need to come up with a better name for the Anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act. I mean, that doesn't roll off the tongue very well. But, that particular law kind of reflects a little bit of skepticism with the Federal Reserve and how they would interact with a Fed-issued cryptocurrency. And already a lot of states have kind of passed laws, and other places have passed laws kind of preempt that. But I think the Clarity Act, so that's kind of a preventative law. But if you look at the Clarity Act and the Genius Act, I mean, Clarity, and I know it's changing, and I haven't read the whole bill or anything like that, but I know it really is, I think, hitting on the core principle of, is it a commodity or is it a security? I think that's what the industry has struggled with, because securities are treated a certain way and commodities are treated a different way. And a lot of the rulemaking in the various agencies has been a little bit draconian. And so finally, I think the good thing about it, particularly with the Clarity Act, is the voice of the people is being heard. I mean, people want to use these cryptocurrencies. They want to participate in these networks. And I think that's what that law in particular is working on. Genius Act is more about the stable coins and how those will interact. But hey, keep in mind, too, we've also, I mean, the FDIC and the OCC and the Federal Reserve, they've issued this week as well a bunch of rules for banks and how they can start working, getting into crypto as well. So legislation is one thing, but there's also been a lot of loosening up and forward progress on rulemaking as well.
Well, how should it be viewed? Is it a security or is it a commodity?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? It's in some ways it's a security because you're relying on a system and a system that of trust. You're trusting the system to work the way you think it is. But on the other hand, it is, I mean, a Bitcoin is a unit of value, or a Ripple or any of these other things. And so it is. One brick is the same as the other, so it's a little different in those regards. So, yeah, I think the answer is kind of both, but I think if you try to treat it as uniformly as one or the other, I think that's where you run into problems.
Because they function, I mean, each kind or each designation functions as such, right? I mean, is that fair?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the more interesting things about crypto in general is that people tend to think it's just Bitcoin, but
right.
it's more than just Bitcoin. I mean, there's lots of different ways that these cryptos, that's one of my core principles when I've talked about the legislation we've looked at state level is, this is more than just Bitcoin. This is blockchain technology. One of the bills I introduced actually looked at ways for the state to use blockchain technology for transparency, to publish state transactions out there on a public blockchain that people can see. And you see places like New Jersey and California that are already doing that with like titles and various things. So I guess that's a good byproduct of what's going on in DC right now. The more cryptocurrencies are accepted, the more general blockchain technologies will be accepted. And that should hopefully open up lots of other things we can get into other than just the currency aspect.
And so let's talk about the state level. Now, I guess the state does have some cryptocurrency from, asset forfeiture. And so it is sitting there, but there's no real clear direction in what to do with it. And I think others would argue that the state should have a reserve play in the space, because the state invests in all kinds of things with its reserve funds, et cetera. What do you think of that?
Sure, I think it could definitely be part of a strategy. I introduced a bill last year, and we actually heard it in committee to talk about it. And I think legislators are really cautious about that. I mean, this is people's money. This is public funds we're talking about. So, and that's a good thing. You want your government to be careful with your resources. But again, I think now that we're kind of seeing more federal progress on this and more definition, I think it's definitely something I want to reevaluate next session, and we'll take what I've learned with some of the concerns other legislators had, and we'll rework it a little bit and see how far we can get with it. I mean, I think it's a good part of being a good steward of people's money is also not being too scared with it. I mean, I've been in a financial institution for over 20 years now, and you can be you can be very safe and very careful and act as that fiduciary over people's money, but you also got to put it to work as well. And I think crypto is one way we could put it to work.
Well, and what's the learning curve among your colleagues? Because I assume they're probably, and I mean I keep up with a lot of this, but it's probably you got a steep learning curve to coach these guys up and explain it's more than just Bitcoin. There's all kinds of different variations and things for the state to consider here. And it's not just, I mean, that to me seems like that's the big hurdle, is educating sort of the lawmakers, the policymakers on how this all works.
Sure. I think it takes time. One thing I always tell people is that crypto, one reason it's hard to get your hands around is because a lot of the terminology and the way it was introduced to the world, I mean, through a really dry white paper. I mean, who's going to sit down and read a white paper and learn about crypto besides, you know, some geek like me, you know? But the I do, believe it or not, I have tremendous respect for my colleagues and their level of intelligence. There's a lot of smart people. It just takes time to learn about the different aspects. The difficult part is you have to kind of unlearn what you know about it. I mean, a wallet is not like a wallet. A mining is not like mining. So you kind of have to start over from square zero. But there's a lot of members in the House in particular that have really come a long way just in the last couple of years and reading up and learning the basics of how it works. And some are now investing in it and all that stuff. And hey, that no quicker way to learn something than by having your retirement or a sliver of your retirement interacting with it, you know?
Well, tell me this. How are other states handling it? Where is Alabama? Are we behind? I guess at least there's discussions, and you mentioned it came up in committee, and you kind of worked through some of it. So at least there's some progress being made, it seems. But are we kind of lacking here on this front?
Yeah, I think most states have been kind of hamstrung or swimming upstream or whatever, you know, terminology you want to use by what the federal government had done. We had the SEC that was very anti-crypto. We had the FDIC, OCC, everybody that was doing everything they could to hold it back. And I think with the Trump administration in place, that kind of opened that with their approaches to crypto has really opened that up. So states were kind of, there's only so much a state could do. And I think now states are feeling a lot freer to experiment and look at what a state should be doing. How do we as a state individually interact? I mean, one of the big things, the reserve is obviously an obvious thing. Texas, I believe, just did that. I think Arizona passed it, but that was vetoed. I think there's New Hampshire might have passed some things, but it's still the early stages. So I don't know that we're behind, but I think it'd be great if we could get at least some basic crypto laws passed, at least in this coming up session. You know, we got an election coming up, and there are a lot of especially younger voters that are extremely interested in crypto and being able to participate and this technology, and so I think it's really important that our state, you know, we want to be on the bleeding edge, but we don't want to be just sitting there doing nothing either.
Well, what is the value? What is the value at a reserve at the state level, or any level of government? I suppose. Well, I mean, explain that to me.
Well, so I think a few things. One, it legitimizes the industry, just like what we're seeing at the federal level now, and says, hey, this is okay. This is something that can be done, and we can do it with guidelines and done in a safe way. I also think that it introduces the state to how you interact with these types of networks, crypto networks and things. I think going down in the future, I think blockchain technology will be utilized at a bigger level or at a wider level. And so making sure that our state officials in the executive branch, the legislative and judicial kind of understand that world. I mean, you don't really understand a lot about a lot of technologies until you actually use it. And so I think when you, especially put in the law, have to learn how it works. Yeah.
Aside from the understanding, and then I get that because, you know, now you're dealing with it and you're kind of, you put hell holds feet to the fire, but say the state has it. I mean, it seems to be one of these things that does fairly well. I mean, is that it? Is it a kind of a financial diversification measure?
Sure.
What do you see it as?
Yeah, I mean, it would hard with as many billions as we have in the bank, it's hard to say that it would be any meaningful thing in the short term as far as any kind of hedge or investment. A lot of it, I think, would be symbolic. But no, I mean, in the long term, yeah. I mean, if the more that crypto is adopted, then the state's participation. I mean, RSA and some other funds, they participate in certain things that are very calculated risk. That's part of being a wise investor. So I think opening up those possibilities for investment in crypto is good. I mean, that would be part of what a Federal Reserve or part of what a reserve, state reserve would be.
And is it just like, well, if it's good enough for Alabama and then they seem okay with it, then maybe me, the street level investor looking for a place for savings, then maybe that's something I need to. I mean, is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, that's all part of the bigger conversation of legitimizing. Think of it like the internet. I mean, back in the late 90s, if you had suggested you will be banking over the internet or you will be banking on a mobile phone, I mean, people thought that was crazy. And I was involved in financial services back then, and a lot of banks and credit unions and other financial institutions thought that was insane. That'll never happen. Nobody will trust the network. And it took, now look, I mean, that's where especially younger people, that's their primary interaction with financial institutions. So it's the same thing with this. I mean, it seems crazy that a state or a federal government invest or buy crypto. I mean, what are you talking about? That's crazy. But in 20 years, I think it'll be pretty mainstream. So it's all a matter of how quickly we're going to adopt it. And like you said, do we want to be behind or do we want to be along with everybody else? I think that's the question.
Representative, we're up against a break here, but thanks for coming on and holding my hand on this. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Good subject to talk about, and good to talk about it with you.
All right, State Representative Mike Shaw there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
He said something just glitter and shine.